You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Amen, 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 amen. You know, in the absence of Pastor Paul, I want to just take a minute and acknowledge my big brother, a 50-year-old man. Oh, man, he has been such a blessing to all of us. And I'm so grateful for his yes to the call of the Lord and his shepherding over this house. So, Pastor Paul, if you're watching, we love you. If you're not watching, we still love you. Amen. And I told him when he sent me a text this morning, he sent me a text first, said he's not going to make it, just got in, blah, blah, blah. And I said, we promise not to burn the house down. All right? And then he goes, burn it down. Y'all know who your pastor is. Burn the house down. Y'all know who y'all are. Amen. Amen. For restoration and bridge, this season has been so interesting, right? We had our last Sunday service in our building and restoration on July 4th. July 4th. And the very next Sunday, I was in this pulpit here at the bridge, July 11th. Yeah. The next day, that Sunday, I came to the door and Maybelle and Mary Simmons were waiting for me. They were waiting for me. Sanders, they were waiting for me, brother. And I thought I was going to come and minister. Wrong. I came to be ministered to, and we needed that. Okay, maybe not we. I needed that. And I got to the door, and I thought I was going to go into the office and pray, and they were waiting for me at the door. And for those of you who know Maybelle and Mary, y'all know that they hear from the Lord and they release what saith the Lord.
Yes, they do.
And Maybelle had pages of prophetic words that the Lord had given her. Pages. She had a notebook, Johnny. She had a notebook, bro. And Mary simply said, the Lord asked me to wash your feet. And so we sat in the office, and in my broken vessel state, I was ministered to, because that's what the bridge is. I don't know if you know this bridge. You're an apostolic center, meaning that the Lord's called you to be a ministry to ministries.
Come on.
You're called to be a ministry to ministries. We're 5 years old. In our first year, we knew that the Lord had placed some things in us. We didn't know how to quite bring it about. So you know who we called in our first year? The Bridge Metro West. And in our first year, Prophet Verna and Natalie and Lenore and even Missy came and helped to establish a prophetic ministry team in our house. Because you're a ministry to ministries. And again, it's incredibly important that you know that bridge. Because you're not here by accident. Restoration. We entered this season. And as we entered this season, we didn't quite know why. We didn't quite know how. We didn't quite know what and when. Honestly, it didn't make sense to us. It still don't make sense to us fully. But what we know was that there were a lot of places in our town we could have connected to and attached ourselves and laid roots. But the Lord had us here. Because y'all are a ministry to ministries. But moreover, there's a grace here that y'all might not even necessarily recognize as of yet. So today, as we celebrate 5 years, I want to just kind of take us through this last 4 month journey for a little bit. And it's my prayer that I could speak a little bit towards the next 5 years, if that's all right. So July 11th, we were here and we had opportunity to share God's word. And then we got a phone call from Greta and Jeff, and Ken Fish was here. That was 2 weeks after. And we had the privilege, Fredlin and I, to go to dinner with this prophetic apostolic voice that has really had the privilege to share across the nations. And so Fredlin and I are sitting there, and we have opportunity to meet Brother Fish. And when we meet Brother Fish, he gets to know us a little bit. He shares, and then he tells us after we share a little bit, the minute I walked in and I saw you, I didn't even know I was going to be at your table, but the Lord told me that you're Moses. Y'all remember this? Y'all remember him saying this?
Yeah.
He said, the Lord told me you're Moses. And as you're traversing your wilderness, the Lord still has his plan for you. Again, there are these times where we navigate these seasons where we don't quite understand why. Right? There are these times where we go through grief, we go through hardship, we go through job loss, we go through the passing of loved ones, and we don't understand why. Yet I want to reiterate this fact. God's purposes and God's plans remain true and constant, even when we don't necessarily see them or understand them. And that kind of began our journey of church toggling. By church toggling, here's what I mean. Sunday morning, well, we would record our sermons earlier in the week, and we'd prepare service, and service for restoration would be streamed. And we would be making our way here while we're watching service of restoration online. And so we were chiming into restoration services, chatting and commenting, and sometimes even here on my phone, chatting and commenting, but making my way here because the season required a being here. The season necessitated not just being, if you will, quote unquote, in this little corner, you know, wallowing in misery and mire because stuff done went wrong, right? And Lord, what in the world are you doing? But knowing that in the midst of the storm, what we're to do is put our head down, take heed to what it is God's saying, and follow. And follow. And so we've been church toggling for a few months. And all of it, really, family, is for one reason alone. There is this thing that I believe the Lord is doing within our midst that can't happen without our yes and our obedience. Even though we don't necessarily understand what it is or where it is or how it is to play out, what's required is a yes and an obedience. So now I get to take a step back before we move forward here. So 5 years ago, going back to 2015, I started pastoring in 2012. When I started pastoring in 2012, took over an existing ministry. It was Dominion Church International, Dominion Christian Church. And we kind of continued what had begun. As we continued what had begun, prior to that, there was this seed, this vision of restoration. But it wasn't yet the time to release it. Then 2015 came. And when 2015 came for us, it ended up being a year that came with some tumult, but it also was a year that I really felt as if the Lord kind of pushed us in a place of seeking. And I realized that it was the year that kind of changed some things in my life. Do y'all know sometimes the years that are the hardest are the years that are the most prophetic and profound in the lives of the believer? Sometimes the years that you go through the hardest circumstances and situations are the years that the Lord actually lays the roots so that you can be propelled into where it is the Lord is calling you. That particular year, 2015, we had visited, had the opportunity to receive Bishop Ayo from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I don't know if Sunny. In any event, we received Bishop Ayo. And then later that year, Bishop Ayo said, man, we'd love to have you come and minister in Nigeria. And I was like, whoa, Nigeria. I want to go. And so we made our way to Nigeria, and family, Nigeria blew me away. It blew me away. I was at a service with 1 million people. Matter of fact, before the service started, we were in the pre-prayer, the pre-service prayer. It was 3 hours of 10,000 people crying out before the Lord. That was the pre-service prayer. Pre-service. And I remember coming back from that trip feeling like, oh my gosh, the biggest mega church in America is but a Sunday school class. And there's so much more for us to do. So much more for us to do. So much more for us to do. And what is it that we're not doing that's hindering us from actually walking in the grace and the call that the Lord has upon our lives? And it was kind of in that vein we spent this time beginning to really lay this foundation for restoration. And the foundation for restoration was Isaiah 61 and 1. Yeah. Wow. Y'all remember Isaiah 61 and 1? Y'all better remember this restoration. Shoot. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me, for he has anointed me, right? To proclaim good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to open up prison doors to those, to proclaim liberty to the captives and open up prison doors to those whom are bound. And in a word, what that verse really spoke to for us is we've been anointed by God to preach good news, salvation, to heal the brokenhearted, healing, right? To proclaim liberty to the captives, prophecy, and open up prison doors to those whom are bound, deliverance. These end up being the pillars of our house. Yet here's what I want to say. Restoration, I'm hoping you're hearing me. We've seen sparks of restoration, but we've yet to walk in restoration. We've seen sparks of it, Sister Carmel, but we've yet to fully walk in this thing. And I contend, family, now I'm going to drop the bombshell, restoration. Forgive me even ahead of time. I contend that the reason for our buildinglessness state is connected to the fact that we've fallen away from the vision, the mission of who we are. And Bridge, this ain't just for restoration. I contend Bridge Metro West.
Come on.
There is a purpose and a call upon this house that the Lord is calling us to walk into. Yes. That until we walk into, we miss God. So restoration, y'all know that we're in this church series. And in a lot of times, when we try to do a preaching calendar, which is a tentative, you know, ideal goal thing, but whenever we get to anniversary time, we're always in a church series, revisiting what the Lord has to say about who we are and why we are who we are, revisiting the mandate upon the church. And what's the church? The ecclesia, the called out ones, right? The church is supposed to be a mandate, to be a movement and not an institution, right? The church, if you're called out by God, you're called out from amongst them to be empowered by God to then go back to them, right? We're called out from amongst the world so that we could come to a gathering like this, be filled by the Spirit of God, and then go back to the world and allow your light to shine. That's what the church is supposed to be. So the church isn't supposed to be about a program. It's not supposed to be about a day of the week. It's not supposed to be about 3 hours on a Sunday morning. No, that's not the church. The church is supposed to be a movement. Yet what's happened to the church in the West is we've become stagnant. We've become an institution. We've become bogged down by mortgages and programs, and we don't actually go out.
Come on. That's right.
We don't actually live out the mandate that's upon us as the church. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, "You are the church." Turn to that same person and say, "I am the church." Facts, brother. We are the church. We are the church. We are the church. We are the church who hasn't been the church. My dad is an old preacher. And he has all these old sayings. Like, if y'all know my dad, y'all know he's always saying, like, one of my dad's sayings is, "Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has been my help." Say, "How you doing? How you doing, Dad?" "Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has been my help." Right? And so it's 1 Samuel 7. He's just quoting scripture. Most of his sayings are scripture. Right? One of my father's saying is, "Maranatha, Lord come, Lord Jesus come." Right? And I'm like, "Dad, okay." Right? And a lot of times he says these things and I'm just like, "All right, Pop's cool." Right? One of the things that my father says all the time, we're getting ready to leave, right? I say, "I'll see you later, Dad." And he goes, "Son, be yourself." You've heard that one, right? You've heard that one? Yeah. Right? Well, "Son, be yourself." And I'm like, whatever. Another pops-ism, right? Right? Because what in the world does that mean? How in the world am I not going to be myself, right? How in the world am I not going to be myself? So the other day, I go see my pops, and I have a friend with me, right? And like clockwork, I'm getting ready to leave, and I say, "See you later, Pops." And he goes, "Son, be yourself," right? And I'm like, okay. And I say to my friend, "Excuse him, you know, right?" And then he goes, "But nah, he's right on. Too many people out here are fronting, acting as if they're something that they're not. They're legitimately imposters of themselves." And family, the church has become an imposter of itself. rather than being who the Lord has called us to be, who the Lord has empowered us to be, who the Lord has made us to be, who the Lord has anointed us to be. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's upon you. At times, it's as if we're imposters of ourselves, not living out the true mandate placed upon us. So what's this mean? It starts with this statement. I refuse to be an imposter of myself. Amen. I want you to repeat that after me. I refuse to be an imposter of myself. The Spirit of the Most High God is within you, family. There's a light that's in you that is the Holy Spirit that literally is the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the grave. Yet there are circumstances and situations that seem to stifle you and hinder you from actually being who the Lord's called you to be. There's no way, family, that we're to be bogged down and hindered when the Lord has given us a charge and a mandate. The hindrances and the obstacles are simply stepping stones and testimonies for us to get to where it is the Lord has called us to go. I refuse to be an imposter of myself. So how do we actually move past this kind of state of not actually being who the Lord's called us to be? This almost kind of church, capital C, lethargy, where we're more of an institution rather than a movement. Friends, I can't speak to the global church, but I have the privilege today to speak to Restoration and the Bridge. And today, the word of the Lord to us is this. It's time to arise. 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 Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. I want to talk about this mandate just for a minute here, family. I don't got a lot of time and I won't be respectful. But here's the reality. There is this mandate upon the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ, to actually get up from its stupor and arise and shine. Why? Because there's this light that's resident within you that as you arise, that light begins to shine forth from you. You see, the circumstances that got you depressed, that have you discouraged, that have you feeling defeated, as you begin to arise and recognize that there's this light inside of you, your light permeates through the darkness and you begin to walk in the light of Christ that's in you. It's time to arise and shine. It's time to arise and shine. It's time to arise and shine. How do we do it? How do we arise and shine, though? So happy you asked that question. The story of Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer, lays this out for us in such a way that we can't help but glean from it today. I didn't give a title today. It's time of sharing, but our time of sharing today is simply two words. Restoration, arise. Bridge, arise. It's time to arise. Nehemiah's story, I'm going to invite you to turn with me, if you would, to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. Son, be yourself. But Nehemiah chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 11. But we're really going to focus on verse 17 and verse 18. For those of you who aren't familiar with the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah is the king's cupbearer, a position of high trust and honor. But he's the king's cupbearer in the land of Persia, and he has this heart for his people in Jerusalem. The condition of his brothers and his sisters is in utter ruins. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, we see Nehemiah praying, hardcore praying. Yeah, right. And what we gather from Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1, is Nehemiah prays for months, praying and fasting for months before he approaches the king. There is this charge and this call and this passion that's birthed in him. And so what does he do? He prays, and he prays for months. He prays and fasts for months. But where we pick up the story here is he has approached the king. He has approached the king, and prayerfully he's done so, and the king has granted him some favor. And as he's traversing now and beginning to go to Jerusalem, he arrives in Jerusalem, and we pick up the story. The land, his land, where he feels called to, where he feels the Lord has charged him to actually stand in the gap and arise and build, right? That's where he feels called to. Like many of us here, we feel called to this region. We feel called to Brockton. We feel called to the Metro West, right? But how do we do this? How do we get up and arise? Prayer ends up being the backdrop. But as we get to this part in the text, what we soon discover is it doesn't just stop there. Verse number 11. So I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, and I and a few men with me. I told no one what God, my God, had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Nehemiah viewed them, y'all. Verse 14. Then I went on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, and there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall, and I turned back and entered by the valley gate, and so returned. Verse 16, and the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Verse 17, I want you to highlight, underline, whatever you do to note a particular passage in your scriptures. Verse 17, then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste. You see the distress that we are in, how Brockton lies waste. You see the distress we are in, how Framingham lies waste. And its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. Verse 18. And I told them of the hand my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. How do we arise as the Lord is calling us? 3 quick points. First one is this. Number 1, prayerful investigation and observation of the condition of the land. Prayerful investigation and observation of the condition of the land. As you're praying and investigating and studying and viewing and taking a survey, you know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to stir in your heart a particular aspect of the land that you're called to. Bridge, restoration. There are all sorts of issues around us. And I contend, family, that it's as you solve the problem that the Lord has placed before you, you actually walk in the purposes that the Lord has created you for. This is about prayerful investigation and observation of the condition of the land. It's about when you drive down the street and you see that homeless person and you continue to simply pass on that in your heart, right? To the point where you become calloused upon the condition of the plight of the people. And it no longer becomes of concern to you because, you know, that's just not your issue, quote unquote, right? What are we doing? Rather than doing prayerful investigating, right, we're ignoring what the Lord has placed right before us in terms of the condition of the land. It's about saying, okay, God, you've placed me here. What is it you've called me to do here? This isn't about a building restoration. I want to make that real plain. You don't need a building to feed the hungry.
Come on. That's
right. You don't need a building to stand for justice.
That's right. Come on.
Bridge, you don't need a building to impact change in this region. The second point that we want to make is this: prayerful investigation, observation of the condition of the land. Verse 17, point number two. What we see is a release of the charge of God to the land. Verse 17 says, let us build a wall. Let us build a wall. Right? Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem. It's this clarion call, if you will, this clarion call that Nehemiah echoes, right? And what he's really ultimately talking about here is this. There's a situation that's broken. There are some walls that are broken, right? And I've prayed, I've observed, I've studied. Now it's time to make this call and make this charge plain. Come, let us rebuild this wall. Release the charge of God. Release the charge of God. Release the charge of God. Do you know that there are things, restoration, that as we come to the place where we actually are obedient to what God has placed on our hearts to do, and we actually say, okay, God, I'm releasing this into the earth. What we begin to see is the minute we release it, it opens up the door to favor to folks coming alongside you to actually do this thing.
Yes, yes.
Release the charge of God. Release the charge of God. Innate to the releasing is our third point, because the third point comes from verse 17 and 18 as well. As you're releasing the charge, inherent to it is an invitation to people to come alongside you. The first component of arising to what the Lord's calling us to do is prayerful investigation and observation of the condition of the land. The second point is release the charge of God. And the third point is invite people to respond to God's invitation. Invite people to respond to God's invitation. How do we do that? We actually do that by sharing the vision that God has given. We've released the charge, now we share the vision. We share what it could be like if and when we actually went forth. What it could be like if you actually put your hands to the plow so that we could go forward. What it could actually be like. Last time I was here, Bridge, I shared a little bit about Charles Finney and his story as a revivalist and a little bit of his journey. I want you to do me this favor for a minute. The charge to us is to arise. It's time for us to arise and walk out the purposes that God has called us to. So what I want you to do right where you're at is to bow your heads, close your eyes. What would it look like, family, if the work that the Lord has given to us to do, we actually approached this prayerfully, investigating the land and released the charge of God upon it and invited others into that work? What would this region look like if we stopped being imposters of ourselves and actually rose up to be who we are and to walk out the purposes of God in the earth. Dormant in this room right now are prophets, evangelists, marketplace apostles. Not just marketplace preachers, marketplace apostles. We've got folks in here right now, in this room, that are literally world changers. What would Framingham look like and Natick look like if we were actually truly ourselves? And not folks who conform to this kind of societal norm to kind of go along to get along. How do we arise? Prayerful investigation and observation of the condition of the land. How do we arise? We release the charge of God. How do we arise? We invite others in. What would it look like if you actually rose up and walked out who the Lord has called you to be? At the end of October into November, I consecrated a 3-day fast. The fast was specifically to restoration, for restoration. And I was just asking the Lord these questions. Lord, what do we do? Lord, where are you taking us? Lord, what are you doing? The last day of the fast, I had a lunch meeting set up with a pastor friend who pastors a church called Restoration City Church in Boston. And we had always been cordial, cool, but I'd never been to his church, never really saw his ministry. And I got there and saw the building. We walked around, we talked, we prayed. But then he took me to this outreach center. The outreach center, he had pictures up on the wall. He said, that guy we found under a bridge. We fed him and we shared the gospel with him. That guy we met and he was totally strung out. He was on Mass and Cass and we loved on him. The next day, the person next to him is his brother. The next day, his mother found out that we got this dude into detox and she brought the other son who was strung out. He said, Manny, everything that we bring in goes right back out. Because the whole reason we're here is to serve the broken, the destitute, the least of these. And when he shared that, and our time was over, and we prayed, and I left out, I sat in the car. And I said, God, thank you for reminding me of why we're here. I really think today my assignment is to remind you of why you're here. Why you exist. Why there's breath in your lungs. You aren't here to occupy space. You're actually here to be God's vessel, God's ambassador, God's agent. For salvation, for healing, for deliverance, for freedom. Might you stop being an imposter of yourself and rise up today? I'm going to invite you all to stand to your feet with me and what I want to say to restoration is this. 5 years means that we now begin to understand this vision. It means that it's now time to stop seeing sparks of it, but it's now time to start to walk in this thing. What 5 years means is we're in kindergarten now. We're no longer babies who can utilize the excuse that that's too hard and that's uncomfortable. It's time to rise up. And Bridge, y'all have the privilege of being a part of this today because in a lot of ways, the same word applies to the Bridge. It's time to rise up. As you're standing, I'm going to invite you just for a moment. Actually, let me invite, if you desire to actually have prayer, you invite the ministry teams that are here to come forward. Pastor Nice, Pastor Twy, I'm going to invite you guys to also be a part, right? Just come forward. If you desire prayer, feel free to come forward to one of the ministers up front. But honestly, in this moment, what today is about is you and God. It's you and God. It's you and God. What is this season truly about? I contend that this season is truly about coming to the place where we learn to say, Father, I'm willing to go and do whatever it is you ask of me to do. It's no longer about my comfort. It's about my yes. So if you're here today, we're going to pray and then we're going to allow for this time the ministry to go forth. And you desire to come forward, you can. But I want to pray over you. But this is more about you and God. Father, what I know is that for far too long, you've called us. And for far too long, we've made excuses. Father, what I know in this season and in this space is that even as things have been hard and uncertain and unclear, your plan has remained true, your call has remained true. And so, Lord, today, Father, we refuse to be imposters of ourselves anymore. We refuse to conform to the pattern and the societal norms that surround us. Father, we are yours. And our prayer today, Lord, is that you might do a work in our hearts as we go forward with our yes to you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts.